Hey there, everybody. It's good to see you. This is our life coaching, monthly life coaching call. If Coach Dina is here, I would love for you to raise your hand so I can get you promoted. Let's see if I can change my name. I don't even know how to do that. How's everybody doing? How is everybody doing? All right, so good. And you can hear me okay? Everybody can hear me okay? Give me a thumbs up. Excellent. Excellent. All right. So here's what we're doing. Hi. Tired from camp. Yeah. Camp. I'm a little tired from camp too, but I'm also energized. Energized and tired all at the same time. So here's what we're going to do tonight. This is open coaching. Open coaching, meaning you did not have to sign up. You did not have to apply. If you want to be coached on any topic, anything goes on a life coaching call, just go ahead and raise your hand and we will get started. We're going to be here for about an hour, right around an hour, depending on how long-winded I get. So let's get started. Coach Dina, are you here? If you are here, if you'll raise your hand, I will get you promoted as well. All right, Paula, we're going to go ahead and get started. You are first. Here she comes. And there is only one other hand raised, y'all. So come on in. Paula, are you coming? Let's see if we can get Paula started here. Hey, she's... All right, Paula, you should be able to unmute and start your video. I'm going to give you another second or two. If we can't get you rolling, I'm going to put you back in the list so that you can re-raise your hand and start your and figure out how to start your video and stuff. Okay, she's not coming. I wonder if she mistakenly raised her hand. All right, I'm going to move you back over to attendee, Paula. If you figure it out, raise your hand, okay? Bernadette, you're next. Let's see if this one works. And y'all, who wants coaching tonight? Who wants to be coached?
And start.
There she is.
I'm here.
Hello. Yay. I'm so glad. You know, it's storming here. So I was like, hopefully this is not a Zoom problem.
No, we have a storm coming our way as well. I'm in Hawaii, so.
In Hawaii. Yeah. Well, that's lovely. I'm jealous.
Yes. Okay. I'm like.
What are we coaching on?
Okay. So I need to keep my voice down because and my husband's. Okay. Recently, we're married 7 years now. I have two grandsons. Mm-hmm. He has two granddaughters. They have since moved back here. And he volunteered to watch them while mommy and daddy go to work. And I wrote into coaches about this. So okay. It's basically about a lack of control. The way my grandsons don't have iPhones, they don't have headphones. Both sets are like 9 and 6, 7. Same. Mm-hmm. They come with these and that's their babysitter. They're like this and like this all day.
Okay.
Doors left open, toilet paper on the floor, dogs shitting in my house. That was one time. And I'm like, okay. Now my husband and I, before this all started, we tried to get on the same page because that was one of the things that the coaches told me. expectations. I have rules in my house. My boys know them. They don't know them. So when they came in, I tried to lay the land, the law of the land. This is how I roll in. It's a small house. Yesterday, after going through the dog shit, and if anybody on the coaching staff knows, because I wrote that in, I have to close all the doors in my house now. My house is small. I have to sequester myself in the bedroom because I don't deal with this kind of little bickering and stuff. And my husband is totally okay with the headphones and phones because he's on a device 90% of the time.
So tell me, what is the problem? Is the problem the dog shit? Or no, is the problem something? What is the problem?
My feelings of lack of control, because I thought we had ground rules set and they're not being followed through with on his part. So now I'm like, didn't we talk about this? Didn't we establish?
What is not in control?
The way they act. They were screaming at him.
So the kids are screaming at your husband? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he took their phones away because they're always bickering about it.
Okay.
I'm trying to, I don't know how to set up my situation better. And it's, I'm not overeating over it because it's so frustrating. I don't want to eat. I'm like, I want to leave my house. Then his car broke down, so he can't take them out of here. And this is like, I don't know how to deal with these children because this is not how I was raised. This is not what you do in my house. I had to like over and over, please take your socks off. Take your shoes off when you come in the house. Little things. I'm trying to set it up, but it's been a week already. And he agreed to this 5 days a week, 7 to 8 hours a day. My daughter don't put that on me with my grandsons. I have them. I pick them up from school. I feed them, bathe them, they sleep, and I send them off to school twice a week. Mm-hmm. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But this, that's all they do. They talk to me like, I'm like, please take your headphones off if you're going to have a conference. I don't know how to rein this into a point where I'm not so frustrated.
Okay.
That's my problem. Okay.
Okay. The problem is, your thought is, I don't know how to deal with these children. You said that. Is that true? Do you not really not know how to deal with these children? If they were your children.
Oh.
What you, so you do know how to deal with them, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know them. They don't know me. So I come across as this.
As what?
The bitchy grandma.
Is that a problem?
I'm not a bitch. And I don't want to be that person.
So what you want is for them to follow the rules that you've may or may not have communicated with them that your husband is not enforcing.
Yes. And he is allowing them.
Yeah.
Because that's okay with him. Not okay with me that you talk to me with headphones on. It's not okay. And I've told them that over and over. I've tried to reinforce all the things that I can reinforce. He's ready to be a short order cook. I am not. So it's like, this all on you.
So what we have here is a set of differing expectations for the same two children, right?
Correct.
Okay. So honestly, that's the problem. The problem isn't how children are acting. The problem is your husband has a set of expectations and you have a set of expectations and those two are not matching up. And as kids, they're going to follow A, the person that they know better, which is going to be your husband, and B, he's a lot easier to follow than grandma, who's got this whole different set of rules that they're not used to.
Yes. And their parents allow them to do all these things. So whatever you do in your house, fine.
Okay.
But my house, my rules, I'm trying to make that really simple, but he's okay with stuff that I'm not okay with.
Okay. So if the phone call here was reversed and you were coaching me about this, what would you tell me needed to happen?
You need to get the damn kids out of your house.
No, no, no. That's not what you would tell me.
Okay, let me think. I mean, I'm trying to, like, how I am, I gently reinforce over mm-hmm. and over and over.
Reinforce but, with whom? Reinforce with
take
the
your
kids.
Headphones. I reinforce with the kids. Take your okay. headphones off if you're going to talk to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk to you if you have your headphones on.
But you're talking to them when you're telling them that.
How else do I communicate it? I don't know because that's what they learn.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't maybe know you don't answer them. Here's what I see though. Okay. I see they've been given two different set of rules, and as kids, mm-hmm. they're going to follow the rules that are the easiest set.
Yes.
So to me, the two sets of rules need to be combined somehow.
But nobody gives me information.
And if that is not possible, then someone, you or your husband or the kids, needs to change their perspective on this whole relationship. Otherwise, there's going to be disharmony in the household. And maybe that's okay, or maybe it's not.
No, it's not okay with me. My house is peaceful.
Right. So what are you willing? Are you willing to compromise anything for a peaceful household?
Oh, totally. And I expect my husband to help me try and reinforce things because he lived with them for a month.
But what if he stuff was good? What if he doesn't?
And then I get mad at him.
Right. Right. And in the meantime, you're the one suffering. No one else is suffering.
I'm trying to relate. I relate to their parents. It's like when the dog shit is like, they're like, well, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. It happens. I'm like, no, dogs don't shit in the house. I have a grand dog. He comes over. I don't know how to get on the same page or even compromise. I don't know where a compromise can even be set because it's so, seems so.
As long as you're speaking compromise, that's one thing. But if you have an expectation that everyone rises to your level of expectation, you're probably just going to continue to be frustrated.
Correct. Right?
Because you have the facts of this is Bernadette has this list of things she expects people to follow, and they're not following them. That leads you to think things like, I don't know how to deal with these children, which causes frustration, causes you to feel out of control. Tell me how you can be in this situation and feel in control. What are you controlling in this situation?
I am controlling me. Mm-hmm. What am I controlling? Mm-hmm. That's just it. I don't even know. Their whole behaviors are foreign to me. So I didn't even know how to hone it in because they've been allowed that for so long. I don't even know how to rein in anything.
They're continuing to be allowed it by your husband as well in your house. So to me, either you have to have this complete and total mind shift about how you're dealing with these kids, or you and your husband have to come to some sort of agreement as to how to deal with these kids, right?
And then he gets wishy-washy and he pisses out.
Yeah, because they're his grandkids and he loves them. And he wants them to love him.
I know. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, what about me, dear? The one you're going to live with.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can't change his behavior. I get all that.
Yeah.
I the whole situation is so frustrating. It's like I literally left yesterday and went to my girlfriend's house because the screaming they were yelling at him, like, that is like so unacceptable what they were doing, and he allowed it.
But that's how you controlled your part of the situation. You said, this is not acceptable for me, so I'm peace out. Handle it. If you want my assistance, here's what it's going to require. Right? A, we don't wear headphones when we're talking to grandma. B, screen time is limited to this time of day. Maybe while you're watching them. When I'm watching them, we're going to do other stuff. Here's what we're going to do.
See, this is something that I know my husband is just kind of like waiting for me to do, for me to take over, because that's how I roll.
So what would be wrong with that?
Oh, because the meltdown that happened yesterday after he said, give me your phones, that it was like screaming banshees. It's even hard to articulate because my grandsons would never be able. They don't even bring devices to my house. You watch TV and I'm going to come and watch what you watch.
But these aren't your grandsons. I mean, they're not even in this. They're not even in this conversation. We're coaching you on how you are handling your relationship with your husband and his grandsons. Okay.
Daughters. Yeah.
Granddaughters.
Same, same.
Okay.
Yeah. Same, same.
The point is, you can't compare the two. They're not raised in the same way. They're not raised in the same household. They have total set of expectations. It's different at their house than these kids have that are staying at your house. Okay?
Yes.
And you're adapting to what's going on there, whether it's through compromise or leaving the house when you feel frustrated. That's what you're going to have to decide is best for you. Okay. You've been given this set of circumstances and your thought, you know, between the husband and the two grandkids, and your thought is very painful to you. So we have to find something here that allows you to feel a little bit more settled and a little bit more controlled in your home. But we can't rely on their behavior change to get us there. We can't. I don't know if you went to camp, but Corinne had this amazing queen scepter.
Loved it. Thank you.
You saw her scepter?
Yes.
Then?
Yes.
I don't have one of those. I can't wave it and change their behavior. So what we have to do is find a way to at least settle you into a place where you're okay being in your home while the kids are not following rules you would have set up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. This is what needs to happen. But every time I try to like, okay, when is parents coming? How long is this situation going to be? Can you give me a light so I can kind of like get my brain wrapped around it so I know there's an end?
Why don't you, why don't you just take day to day? Today, this is what we're doing. And this is how I'm going to think about it. And this is how I'm going to treat myself when I think those kids are acting crazy. Okay. And tomorrow you repeat it. Today, this is what we're doing. This is how I'm going to treat myself when I think these kids are acting crazy. Because when you said it could be months, you just broke down all over again. It might be, but you're going to have to take those months one day at a time and figure out how you want to show up in your home with your husband and those kids.
See, I guess that's where I get frustrated because I know how I want to show up, but.
So tell me, how do you want to show up?
I want to show up as a grandma that's happy to see you when you come, when my grandsons come, because I remember hearing that. If you let a child know that they are appreciated when they first see you, you mm-hmm. give them that love. That's how I, every time my boys come in, I give them a hug. And I was doing that all last week, every time mm-hmm. the girls come. Mm-hmm. And then they go off and they put on their headphones and they lay in the bed and then they'll start to bicker about something. Mm-hmm. Setting a rule for them, considering what happened yesterday about trying to make like some, you have this much time on your phone so you can be like a person and like hear and speak and have eye contact. I think they're going to freak out. So
they probably are. If you change their routine that much, they probably are going to freak out. So there's your, I mean, it might be a choice. Do you want to change their routine that much and deal with the freak out? Do you want to come in and love them and say, you know, how about you play on your phones for the next hour and then you and I, you know, we'll do something together or we'll, you know, whatever.
You know? I've tried. It's like, I, when my boys come, it's like we walk up the street, we pick up trash. We go around the little corner and we mm-hmm. pick up trash.
These kids are not interested in picking up trash.
I didn't even put the trash out there. So I right. said, you want to go for a walk? Mm-hmm. Next time will be three times I've tried. Mm-hmm.
But you're asking them, do you want to go for a walk? Why aren't you saying, hey, how about finish up that show or whatever, that video or whatever you're watching, and then we're going for a walk?
I guess because I don't know them as well, I'm not ready to be that direct, but it seems that that is something that I need to do.
All right. So you're in a little bit of conflict here. You want them to act like your other grandkids that you do know well, yet you say you don't know them as well. And you've even decided not to give them a hug this week. So
but they kind of like ignore me. So I'm like,
that's okay. They're kids.
Yeah. But
you need to worry about what's going on in your mind. And if you want a relationship with these kids, they need to know you. Right. And what they're seeing now is frustrating. Did they call you grandma?
Chacha is my grandma name.
Chacha. Oh, I love that. So they know Chacha comes in and she's already fussing. The doors are open. The dog shit on the floor. They got their headphones on. They're just going to withdraw. But if Chacha comes in, hey, here's what we're doing today. Here's what I'm doing. I would love for you to come with me. Get in the car. They're going to see a whole, they're going to be like, wait, what's going on here? They're going to see a whole different side of you that's not one that's frustrated and annoyed, one that's in control and feeling good about her role in the house. That's the Chacha that needs to come home from work tomorrow.
Okay. I totally hear you on that. I get it. I get that. I guess what I'm afraid of is that I love that. And I'm afraid of my husband then allowing me what he allows. He was the one that said, yes, you can come 5 days a week. And mm-hmm. then he's going to sit back and let Chacha take over. I don't want to take over. You agreed to this. You gave mm-hmm. me 2 days a week, I'd give them 110% like I do my grandsons. Mm-hmm. 5 days a week for this much, that's too much for me. I don't want it.
What's going to make you feel in control then? What's going to make you feel in control then? Because you're not going to, remember, you're not going to change his behavior and you're not going to change their behavior.
Yeah.
It's all about you on this call and in your mind and how you show up. It's all about you. So obviously, Chacha's not going to come home and lay down the law and then follow it, right? The doors are open, the dog shit on the floor. We already know that's not working because you're coming in frustrated, you're coming in annoyed, you're upset, you're distancing yourself. How can you bring yourself back into the fold as an authority figure who lives in that house and loves these kids? That's the key to the kingdom right there. You being you with every part of you, not just the annoying, frustrated part.
Okay. I tried to do that yesterday because there was a whole little fuss going on. And I'm like, we have two choices here. Mm-hmm. You either move yourself to another area, because one is kicking on the other's head. I mean, that's what kids do. The little one on my grandson's, what? It's like, stop bothering her. I see your foot under her bed. Mm-hmm. You either go here or go there. Two choices. Mm-hmm. Then she's starts crying in the corner and she has to call dad. They call their parents at work on a regular. Who does that? Unless you're dying, we'd get freaking cut if you called.
Yeah, don't worry about that, because if he's answering the phone, then he's allowing it to happen.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it's like every little thing, they're going to just call dad.
Well, here's what I know about kids that age. So I have granddaughters, 9 and 8, pretty close to nine, eight, and five, actually, all sisters, pretty close to that age. They're going to bicker. They're going to fight. Do you know what my daughter-in-law does? That. She lets them work it out. She doesn't get in the middle of it, where I'm sitting there going, hey, you stop. And I look at my daughter-in-law and she's like, they'll figure it out. They'll work it out. So expectations, you know, from grandmas, we were raised a little bit different than these kids are. My job, even when my grandkids come over, is to set the expectation, enforce the expectation, and love them the entire time. And when I see things go a little sideways, I pivot. Okay. And my grandkids would sit there and watch TV, or, you know, they don't have headphones, but they have tablets, as long as I let them. But as soon as I go, okay, we're turning the TV off, we're going for a walk, but they come, because they know that's the expectation from this grandma, from this man. You have to be the person you want to be in that relationship for them to respect you as that person. Right now, what they're respecting and seeing is annoyed and frustrated. And that's not the kind of person I want to be around all the time. It's the kind of person you want to be
around. Well, that's why I left yesterday.
Right. So you need to think about how you can show up just a little bit differently as the loving authority figure.
Yeah.
With these kids. And I know you can do it. I see your heart. You wouldn't be on this call if you didn't want to be that loving cha-cha.
That's,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just remember, outside of my wheelhouse. It's
not outside your wheelhouse. Don't tell yourself that.
Well,
you know
this and this.
You just be you. You just be you. Okay.
I really am.
I know you are. I know you are.
Okay, I got it. I'll figure out more of me to try and
be that strong, loving person that you are. Okay? And understand that they're kids that have already experienced the expectations from their house and from your husband. And kind of ease them a little bit, just ease them a little bit toward, you know what, let's take the tablet. Let's put the tablets up and go for a walk. You know, I've got this great blah, 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 you know, whatever. We're taking the, you know what, dog's not going to shit in the house today because we're going for a walk with it.
I tried to walk the dog. He only went like 10 feet and he wouldn't walk anymore. I'm like, how do you make an expectation out of a dog? I'm like, I'm not a dog person. But I got you. I hear you.
You got this. I know you.
Thank you very much
this.
For listening.
You're very welcome. So tell me what you're going to do. Tell me. So for everybody who hasn't noticed, we've kind of gone through the four ends here. We've noticed her frustration and her annoyance. We've normalized them, right? Because we've normalized the kids' behavior. We've neutralized. We've come back in and said, they're just kids. They're 6 and 9, I think you said. They already have come into your home with behaviors that are going to be difficult for you to change. Now we want to know what your next step, your next best thought or action is going to be when it comes to these kids. So tell me, how are you going to wiggle out of frustration and annoyance?
Okay. I'm going to be how I am. Like you said, I'm going to show up as myself, my loving mm-hmm. self, like how I always am with my grandsons. Right. And maybe if I preface when they come in the morning at, I don't know, I'll pick a time, 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. we're going to take a walk.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock, know that your phones are going to go down.
See, and I would just say,
that's my start.
I have something very special planned for you at 10 o'clock today. So get ready. I wouldn't tell them we're taking the phones away at 10. Use your words. Talk to them like you would want to be talked to as a six-year-old. If you go in and tell them, look, I'm going to take your phone away. It's 10 o'clock because we're going for a walk. They're going to be like, oh, hell no.
Right.
Cha-cha's
right.
Crazy.
Verbiage. Yeah, right? yeah. Got it. Yeah, presentation is 90% of exception. And
absolutely.
And, yeah.
Absolutely. You got this.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. I know you got this. I would love for you to write in to Ask Coaches in a couple of days and tell me how amazing things are going. Because you showed up like the cha-cha you want to be. I'm not saying their behavior is going to change.
Right.
But what I would love is for your affect to change, for you to feel better about coming home and being in your home with these kids and your husband.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all about, I'm only worried about you, girl. It's all about you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. All right.
See ya. Bye.
Yes.
Okay, Paula, let's try you again.
Now, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I don't see you yet. Do you have a button to start your video?
Okay. Unable to access camera. What did I do wrong?
That's all right. We can just talk. It's probably a setting in your Zoom account are you on your phone?
No, I'm on my Zoom and I do this all the time and somehow I get frozen.
Okay.
I get frozen. Thank you for talking with me,
sure.
Kat.
Sure. What you got?
I feel like I'm in junior high school and I'm a teacher, so that's not okay. Good. I have a really wonderful group of friends and they are all very, I don't want to use the word affluent, but they're very affluent, very nice people. They travel, they do a lot of things. My husband and I love being with them, but we are more of the paycheck to paycheck kind of friends. Mm-hmm. And I always feel, and I know it's not them making me feel that way, but I always feel like I'm sort of out of the loop. You know, for example, they can't travel. We cannot travel at this point in our life, in our marriage. You know, I have a 27-year-old that I'm still sort of supporting. Mm-hmm. And I just seem to feel like less than, and it's ridiculous because it's really not them that is doing that. And I can see that the other night.
Tell me why you feel out of the loop and less than, and it's not because they're traveling.
No, I just think that they just feel, you know, they have more money, so they're able to do more. I feel like the poor relatives, you know, and I think that's more me. You know, I've always grown up like being that person, even with my family, you know, growing up in with my parents. I just think I just can't seem to get past looking at myself that way. So we had a wedding Saturday night, unfortunately, the same weekend as the camp. But, and I was all dressed up. It was a black tie wedding, very fancy. And I felt great. I looked great. And then I get there and I don't feel as great. You know, I feel like, oh, well, I find myself comparing them. I haven't stopped eating since Saturday night. Like, I just feel like this empty hole that I can't fill up. I don't ever feel full when I get like this. And I don't know. It's like, I'm just searching for something. And yet it's, I know in my head, it's very silly. You know, it's, I'm doing it to myself. My husband laughs at me. He's like, that is the most ridiculous. But I just can't seem to get past that feeling of emptiness and not being good enough or full. And it goes into my food. I don't feel full enough. I can't even tell you what I ate today. You would throw up at the thought, and I could still go back for more. I just.
Okay. So if we were to put, we'll just say I'm the poor relative.
Yeah.
In the four ends.
Yeah.
We'll notice that we're thinking that, and you think it quite often, right?
Right.
Whenever you're with these friends, right?
Right.
And we would normalize it by saying you've thought this your entire life. You have always compared yourself to others, and you've always found yourself coming up short as the poor relative, right?
Right. Right.
To neutralize this, though, we would say what? The facts of the situation?
The facts are, it's just not true. That's not how I'm treated. No one is putting those expectations on me.
Okay. So those are all thoughts. What are the facts?
The facts are is that I can't keep up with them. You know, that
no,
I'm not.
No.
No.
That's a thought. Yeah. You got a credit card. You can keep up with them.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. True.
Facts are you have a group of friends.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
This group of people.
Yeah.
We could even call their names and put that in the, but that's all we can do. Okay.
Right.
Then then your next best thought or action could be, I'm going to get coached on why I always compare myself to everyone, why I always come up short, why I always feel inadequate.
Right.
Doesn't have to be some grandiose, I'll never think that again. Or I know this is wrong and I'm never, because this is a habit for you that has gone on for a very long time. It is a well-worn habit. Have you heard my speech about the, from Atomic Habits, the way the brain, the big sand hill and the ball, have you heard that speech?
Yes, I have, Kathy. Yes. Right. Thank you. Yes.
You've got a water slide, girl. That's going down that side of that sandhill and is super easy for your brain to access. Anytime you're with them, I bet you're thinking, see, I just don't measure up. We don't have as much money as they do. Look at her clothes and look at my clothes.
Right.
Wow. Right. Right.
And look how thin she is. I wish I was that thin. You know,
This is a well-worn pattern for you where you compare yourself to other people. And you never are on the top end of that comparison, are you? Because that's what happens. All right. We very rarely do we go into compare and find ourselves better.
Right.
So your job is to notice when you're doing these things. You're not going to fix this for a very long time, but it always starts with the noticing.
Right.
Because what you're doing is you're creating a place in your mind that is painful to live in.
Right. Yeah.
And you're not, by doing this, you're kind of removing yourself from this relationship of people who apparently love you because they keep asking you places. You keep doing things with you.
Right.
They keep doing things with you. Right.
That's right. Yeah.
So you're affecting your thoughts about them. You're not affecting it. You're not doing anything about them.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
And I would expect that since these people care about you, that you care about them as well. Right.
True. Yes. But I do.
You probably don't want all that compare mess inside the relationship. Right.
Right.
You love to just show up and be you and do the Paula they love and love them back.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
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 So when you find yourself going down this compare road, I want you to tell yourself this thing. I see myself comparing again, and I don't want that part of the relate. I don't want that in my relationship with them anymore.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Now when you start noticing it in your relationship with your friends, you're probably going to see it in a lot of other places as well. So be ready for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell yourself the same thing. I see myself comparing again. This is not how I want to show up. I want to be me and I want to love the people I'm with. I want to love myself. Right. I want to love, you know, I'm assuming you do. You're not one of those people that wants to be a hater, right?
Not at all. Nope.
Right. Yeah. But what you're doing when you're doing this is you're hating on yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Outside of money and your thoughts about money in relation to them, are you a good friend?
I'm a very good friend. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
They don't care about your checkbook. They care about you. You're the only one caring about your checkbook, and it's getting in the middle of how you show up in your friendship.
Right. It's so true.
Yeah.
And there's that bottomless, even, you know, and these girls, I want to just say, are a thin. So another thing that's my trigger, and it's just that bottomless feeling. I have to just really work on just telling myself, knock it off. You're their friend, you know, they love you. You know, everything you just told me makes sense. I have to work, really use those four N's more.
You do. And I would really, really encourage you to use them as often as these thoughts come up, because the more you run them through the four N's, the more they'll normalize for you.
Yeah.
And the more you'll start looking for that next best thought or action.
Right.
And it will eventually change that habit, but you have to start with noticing all the times that you're doing it without beating yourself up about it.
Right.
All you're doing is noticing. Okay. You're not going, oh, here I go again.
Right.
Down the rabbit hole, a compare. No, you're just noticing a habit. Okay.
You got
this?
I got it. Thank you so much. That's a lot to think about. And, it makes sense hearing it from you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, she just left. Perfect. All right, Robin, you're next. Let's see if we can get you unmuted. All right.
Hi, Kathy. Are you there?
I am. Let's see if we can get your video.
Okay.
You can get you. Oh, perfect.
Okay. Hello. Hey.
How are you?
I'm well. I have an issue. I don't know if it's a coachable issue or not, but it's something that I think I might need to work on. And one thing that I like to do is I like to buy a pair of jeans that's one size smaller than what I currently wear.
Okay.
And I try them on once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep trying them on until they fit. Now, before they fit, they look small to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I swear, as soon as they fit me and I take them off and look at them, they look huge. And I know that the size of the jeans have not changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's my thought about it. And I'm not sure how I can correct this.
Okay. So it's basically just your perception
that is kind of, I'm
just going to say wonky. Okay. It's off kilter.
Yes.
All right.
Right.
What
right.
happens a lot of times when we lose weight, and this happened to me, we lose it so gradually that our brain doesn't register it. All right.
Okay.
So if you, let's say you, you see an old friend, and then 6 months later, you've lost 25 pounds and you see that friend again. Your friend is going to be like, oh my gosh, Robin, you've lost weight.
Yes.
Yet you've lost it like half a pound at a time.
Right.
You don't see the collective result of that. All right. And that's mm-hmm. what your jeans are showing you that you buy, those smaller jeans. Mm-hmm. When you put them on, it's showing you that collective, you know, that amount of, it's probably 10 pounds, 10 or 15 pounds size to size.
Right.
It's showing you that. But then what's happening is you're looking at those jeans and you're judging them as big again.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So instead of looking at them and going, oh my God, they're so big. What am I happy about? Or whatever it is you're telling yourself. Again, four N's, you notice I'm being judgy about the size of this pair of pants. Okay. It's just a pair of pants. And I bought them because they were a size smaller. So the, your next best thought is, remember, I always call myself boo when I'm talking to myself. Remember, boo, you bought these as a size smaller. Let's not judge them. Let's take a moment and celebrate the fact that we got into them.
Okay.
Because we're going to turn around and buy the next size smaller. And we know this is going to happen again. So let's practice now celebrating when we notice, instead of noticing the fact that we're going, man, these jeans are still too big. Okay.
So
a lot of times the part that we forget is the celebration part, because we still see, I still have all this weight to lose. I can't celebrate. Yes, you can. And you need to, in order to let your brain catch up with the work that you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. See, everything is coachable, Robin.
Yeah. I had no idea how you were going to answer this, but lo and behold, here you go. So yeah. Thank you so much.
Does that help?
I appreciate it.
You got that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I never thought about doing the four N's for that.
You can do the four N's on anything. And I encourage you, anybody on this call or listening on the replay, if you find something that's causing you distress, discomfort, pain, suffering, whatever, run it through those four ends. I'm telling you, those two middle ones, the normalize and neutralize.
Yes.
They bring me so much peace. I mean, really and truly, when I say, oh yeah, of course I would think that. I've thought that for, I don't know, I'm 57 years. Why would I think that? That gives me, it's almost like adding in a little self-compassion.
Right. Okay, so what? So I'm going to tuck in a blatant four ends into the pocket of those jeans, and then when they fit,
love it.
If I have that experience, that's what I'm going to do.
I'd stick that in one pocket, and then in the other pocket, I'd stick a note that says, "Don't forget to be super excited that I got into these and buttoned them today."
Yes.
Do a All little dance, right?
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Susan, let's do you real quick. Get you unmuted. Oh, look at you. You got all the buttons all on your own.
I've been doing Zoom before. It was cool.
What are we coaching on?
Well, I am at a plateau.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not seeing, when I do see movement on the scale or in other non-scale victories, it's not a, it's not sustained. It doesn't stick. So I feel like I'm just sort of going like this with about 5 pounds. And, you know, I've got lots of thoughts about what my weight is, the number, you know, what that means, the BMI, which, you know, I know is crap, but still, that's what the doctors use.
Did you do camp by any chance?
I did.
So yeah, did you hear Cara Lowenthal's?
I did. And I meant to look that up.
Interpretation of the BMI?
Yeah, I meant to look that up.
Oh, I believe her. I would never, I'm going to be honest, y'all. I think she would scare me. Okay. She has such an amazingly strong personality.
Yeah.
Not question a thing she said. If it comes out her mouth, I'm like, but she must be right, because she's really
smart. That panel was amazing, because I just got to hear some really different perspectives on being at a certain weight and not, you know, not letting it stop you from living your life, which is basically what I've been doing probably for the last,
I mean, I could ask for, people to raise their hands and say, if they were doing it too, they'd be like, yeah. So for those of you who weren't at camp, the BMI, I don't remember all the details, but she said was created by men in the late 1800s like Europe or something for insurance purposes.
Yeah, for insurance.
So immediately I thought, well, that's just so insurance can deny things.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right? No wonder they
totally invalidated the BMI for me.
Yeah. Totally. And I don't necessarily, it's not just one thing. Like I can get on the scale and say, oh, that's what I am, and be, okay with it. It's just a number. But I think there was one thing I heard in the camp that when Corinne was having us do the excuses, she had us categorize them in terms of whether we were fearful, or I think there were three things: fearful,
fear, doubt, and lack of passion,
or lack of passion. I had a lot of lack of passion things, and I never really thought of it that way. And I thought, maybe I'm not really understanding what my why is for why I'm losing weight.
Well, that could be it, but your why's job is not to create passion for you. Creating passion for you comes from inside of you based on what you're thinking.
Okay.
Passionate is a feeling, right?
Yeah.
Are you passionate about losing weight? I mean, be honest. If the answer is no, then that's probably where our coaching needs to go.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that I want to be 50 pounds lighter, but I don't have the passion for the process.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Why don't you have passion for the process?
It's one of those, it just does, it's maybe just not a, I don't believe that I can get there. I see other people doing it.
That's the problem.
I don't think it's me.
So it's not the process that you don't have passion for.
Yeah.
You don't believe that you can do it.
Right. And
right?
It comes from, and again, I understand because I don't want to coach myself, but this is something that I put in the chat, and I said, and Julie responded. And so I imagine you'll give me the same response, but I'm going to be 60 years old in October. And I'm a hot mess because I've been cleaning. So
I'm thinking 60. Lord, you look 10 years younger than me. Dang. Okay. But anyway,
you're my favorite person.
Hot mess cleaning. Almost 60. What's the problem?
But I started gaining weight in like the, 50s. Like after 50, everything went downhill or uphill, depending on how you look at it.
Okay.
But I've been able to lose weight in the past, but when I was able to lose weight in the past, it was I had a different body at that point. I had a different, I had different hormone levels. I had a lot of things that were different at the time. And I think if I can articulate it, I know I had to lose weight in my 40s. I don't know how to lose weight in my late 50s.
But you do.
And you think I do. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I mean, you're in no BS, right?
Yes. Yes.
If Corinne were on this call saying, Susan, tell me how you're going to lose weight, what would you say?
I would follow the four basics.
Oh, yeah. What are the four basics?
The four basics are at least 64 ounces of water, 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Eat when you're hungry, stop when you've had enough, and do a 24-hour plan every day
and follow it
yeah. So there is one of the four basics that I struggle with the most,
yeah,
and that is I will write a plan but I won't follow it.
Are you 100% on eating when you're hungry and stopping it enough?
I'm getting better at that. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100%, but I'm definitely more mindful now than I ever.
How's your enough looking?
Pardon?
How often do you stop at enough? 50-50, more than that, less than that? No judgment here. I'm just asking.
No, I know. I would say more than 50%. I think I'm really good at stopping at enough.
Okay.
Unless it's a bowl of ice cream.
Okay. And,
like, there are things that are different foods that have, that I will not leave two bites behind. If, you know, it's something that I'm probably just eating it because it's one of the good foods that I'm not willing at this point to stop it enough. But
so what if that's the reason you're on a stall and not the fact that you're almost 60?
Okay.
So, is that possible?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it might not be the fact that you're almost 60 with all the different body and different hormones and all right. those things you listed.
Yeah.
It could be that you have not gone all in on all four basics.
Right.
Because you just told me there's a certain number of food caveat. I'm sorry. I'm just not leaving bugs behind.
And it's right? not, I don't, you know, it's funny because it feels like a choice in the moment. Like now it feels like a choice talking to you about it, but in mm-hmm. the moment it doesn't feel like I have control over that.
Oh,
that
no, you have control.
And I do.
But what has I know control I do. Is the belief system that
it matters.
You're almost 60 and it probably won't matter. You're basically talking yourself out of it.
Yeah.
By leaning on that belief system. When I know this membership is filled with women who have lost weight in their 60s and their 70s.
Yeah.
With different bodies and different hormones and health issues and immobility. And we can just go on and on and on with the excuses. Yeah. I'll just say it, excuses that we use as we age.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So what you're doing is you're accepting your stall
mm-hmm.
with that belief system that allows you to not stop it enough
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. more than 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have to bust this belief system of yours that, right. and I mean, I can line up the women for you. That's not going to change your belief system about your body.
That's
up to you to notice when you're leaning on that belief system so you can have more to eat.
Right. Okay. I appreciate you calling on me. I wasn't sure that I got on late because I lost track of time. And
Let me ask you one more question because we still have 3 minutes.
Oh, dude. Okay.
What in your life do you have passion for?
I have passion for my the happiness of my family. We just built a new house, so I'm passionate mm-hmm. about getting mm-hmm. my house in order.
Yeah.
I am passionate about I'm passionate about my health, and I'm passionate about my business.
Tell me about your health. Tell me why you're passionate about your health.
I am passionate about my health because I want to be able to live healthy later years. And because I see people who have I have longevity in my family, so odds are I'm going to live till 90. And
mm-hmm.
I think it will be more pleasant if I have a healthy lifestyle and I'm mm-hmm. at a healthy weight.
So this is just about the first time since we've been talking that you smiled.
Oh,
I mean, seriously, I can tell just in your body language that you are passionate about your health.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's where you look to your why.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You said, you know, I have a lack of passion for losing weight. Okay, maybe. But you do have passion for creating a healthy body that'll live till, that you are pretty sure is going to live for another 30 years, right?
Right. Right.
That's the passion that you lean on as you're telling yourself, I can't lose weight when I'm 60 years old. Well, yeah, I can. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to, because I want to feel really good when I'm 85 and 90.
Right.
Or as good as an 85 and 90 year old can feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that I need to say this out loud to you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have accountability, but I need to follow the program and not just half-ass it like I have been. I need to do the plan and assess the plan every day, not just once or twice a week, and then I lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
I need to, at the end of the month, I need to be able to look at it and know what the data tells me. And right now I don't have clear data to really tell me what to do. So
I'm going to be honest. I could tell that when you told me, oh, it's about half the time.
Yeah.
If you had data, you would have gone, look, here's my habit tracker.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, in June, I was 47% on plan. I would.
Yeah. So because
that's actually going to tell you how, give you your action steps on how to lose that next 10 pounds or that next 50 pounds or whatever it is your goal is.
Yeah.
Is by looking at that habit tracker and saying, look, I'm 85% on making my plan. I'm 85% on eating when I'm hungry, but I'm 40% on stopping at enough. Guess what I think I need to work on? Mm-hmm. Even with those foods that I don't want to stop at enough mm-hmm. at. That could, I mean, those foods, that handful of foods could make a difference, a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then when you sit there and think, yeah, but I'm 60. My body's different. I don't think I can do it like I used to.
Yeah.
That's when you bring in, but I'm going to live till 90 and I want to feel really good for the next 30 years. That's a lifetime. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, it is. Okay.
You got this?
I am going to recommit. Yep. And
do you have an accountability group or an accountability partner?
I do not.
It would be really nice for you to have one person to check in with.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's an accountability partner, you're not in private coaching, right?
No.
I'm going to tell you, the beauty of private coaching is it's like a one-sided accountability group.
Yeah.
Your coach is not going to go, hey, Susan, can I send you my plan?
I was at the time in the weekend when, Corinne opened up the coaching groups that she's doing.
Yeah.
I went in there and I was like, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. Because I didn't feel like I had earned being in a group with Corinne because I hadn't been doing the plan.
Oh my goodness.
So then it sold out. No, I didn't. But then it sold out and I thought to myself, okay, well, that made my decision for me. But then it said, how about private coaching? And I mm-hmm. honestly feel like that would make a difference for me. And I'm seriously thinking about that.
I can't speak for the other coaches, but I bet at least a third of my clients send me their plans every day just so they have someone to report into.
Yeah.
So if private coaching is not in your budget, that's fine. Find somebody, mm-hmm. whether it's get Heidi to match you up, go in the Facebook group and say, maybe there's somebody on this call. But that's the beauty of having someone in your weight loss journey with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Shops a lot just said shops a lot. Jean Baining. Love her. You could hook up with her.
Oh, very good.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Does that help?
It really does. It really does. I really appreciate your time.
You're smiling so much more now. I love it.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you're back to coaching on these calls. So thank you. I'm so happy
to be back. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. All right, everybody. That's a wrap. I don't even have any more hands. So, and I don't have any announcements. So tomorrow, I guess, Corinne on Wednesday at 9 a.m. I had to lose weight this week. And then check your calendar for everything else. All right. Thanks for being here. Have a great night, and I will see you all soon. Bye now.